Good evening, guys. It's been a raining week down here for me and Ron. We're way overdue for some rain. I had over 3.5 inches of rain the past couple of days, so it's some well-due, well-deserved rain. But getting into my study, this is going to be number 42. You don't want to know. It was a cowboy song talking about reading his book so he wouldn't go to hell, okay? Anyway, this is going to be my fruit of the light study number 42, and it's going to be faith. And I got to thinking, I think I've done faith before, and I ain't talking about a conference, but I think I've done it way back, some year or so ago, when I first started this fruit of the light study. But I've really been focusing on faith, my own personal faith. And when you get to looking at Scripture, how important faith is. Because without faith, I mean,
you can't
get anywhere with God. You don't have that faith.
If you don't show God that you have faith in Him and His Word, and that's the only way, you know. I think I finished up with my conference study in Indiana, stating that body that will be filling up the body is basically faith, because it takes complete and utter faith in God's Word, understanding Scripture rightly divided, and knowing exactly where your hope is and where you're going to be. And it's as simple as that. But I really do think that faith, you know, faith is substance and evidence, just like in it says in Hebrews 11, it says faith and substance is the thing that hopes for, the evidence of things not seen. We all can pick up our Bibles, and that's substance. That Bible that you're holding in your hand is substance. And the evidence is the history behind, even man has history behind knowing that Bible is true. From the prophets on up to Christ and his suffering. So, the Bible itself is faith. The person that reads the Scripture and dives into it to find God. That's what I did to find God. I'm still searching. I found Him, but I'm still learning every day through these dedicated and faithful men that teach these messages. You know, when I was on the stage, I felt like I was in a place where godly men had been before me, and a lot of good godly men, and I was honored to be there. And I thank Phil for the invite. But anyway, you know, I start out my faith study with my Proverbs 3:5-6. And I am going to kind of do pretty much the same thing as I did at the conference for this. But I'm going in another direction once I get past the introduction from my Proverbs. But Proverbs 3:5-6. Says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. You know, that is pretty much faith in a nutshell also, as is Hebrews 11, throughout Hebrews 11. You know, it goes into all the names that through faith will get their reward. They haven't got it yet, but through their faith, they will receive their reward. When we look at trusting in the Lord with all thine heart, that's faith. You know, that is faith. You can't deny that. Herein lies faith in its finished work. Listen to your heart when making decisions. Always emphasize, capitalize, always putting the Lord in your ever-present thoughts and intent on following His direction that you have learned through the faith of Him. Not on me, not on Ronnie or Alan or Chico or anybody else that speaks, but put the faith on Him. Trust or confide is something we as believers take very serious when making life decisions and when you give Him all your devotion, you know. No matter the outcome, our God, Jehovah, the creator of the cosmos and all that exists, was by Him, is made perfect by His will. The second part of the 3:5, first is trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and that's just a small synopsis of my thoughts on this, because just those seven words alone could be seven complete studies or more. But it says, and lean not unto thine own understanding, and we know that's where so many people get into trouble. Without God's true direction, a person has to rely on their own understanding or fall back on what they've been taught from others in a matter. When it comes to scripture, my preacher says, or my uncle says, or my granddaddy says, or my mama says, and that is their belief. They call it their faith, but God is never one of a person. Scripture says it two or three times. It don't matter what you think. If you can't back it up, then that's between you and God. When we look at the traditional understanding of God's Word, 100 years of tradition, that's where we hit a wall with those who we try to give truth of His Word. But they have issues with letting go of what their ancestors told them or their great evangelists told them. When we get into studying God's Word rightly divided, it don't take long until traditions start falling apart. The topics like baptism, born again, the law and the Ten Commandments, ever tormenting hell, the kingdom hope, the rapture, going directly to heaven at death, the pearly gates, talking to St. Peter when you get there, walking the streets of gold, wearing the crown of jewels, Jesus being born on Christmas Day, the new covenant, as Alan stated, Jesus crucified on Good Friday. That one has always confused me. Even when I was a Southern Baptist going to church every Sunday and Wednesday, that one always kind of threw me for a loop. I mean, it don't take much math to see that Good Friday and Sunday morning at daylight, they don't add up to three complete days. The word Easter, as it's supposed to be in Scripture according to tradition, speaking in tongues, from the laying on of hands. I mean, the list just goes on and on. Alan gave one, and I'm sure Alan could throw about seven or eight more out there that's from the Catholic standpoint, because I don't know who about the Catholic. And then we get into verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. God is the director of our paths. In every action you put forward, do so making known to any and all that our Lord, our head is the only God in the heavens and on earth. In silence, look up. Or close your eyes and say, thank you, Lord, for all you do. Acknowledge it. When I was younger, there was a preacher who came in, and he said he was nailing something, and the hammer came off the head of the handle, and it came back and hit him, and he turned around and thanked God for it. And I said, well, why did you do that? He said, because I'm supposed to give thanks to God for everything. And that kind of threw me aback. I mean, we're talking, golly, 35, 40 years when this preacher did this. And it gave me a different, I mean, back then, it even gave me a different look on things then. I said, no. Maybe there was a plan in that. You know, maybe something worse could have happened. I don't know. Maybe God was looking out for him one way or another, but he still got a knot on his head, either way you look at it. And then, the last part of that, he says, and he shall direct thy paths. The direction that we travel while going on our daily task will be guided by his GPS. Cecil has given this study, and he speaks on it quite regular when he's talking about the direction of God. It says, God's perfect son or God's perfect spirit, using either will lead to you in life to a reward, and because he is the perfect guidance system, never faltering or leading you down a dead end. Why our modern GPS systems do, which I know has put me miles out of the way, going to a dead end, or just utterly missed everything. So that's my little synopsis on trusting the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen in Hebrews. And in 11:6 in Hebrews, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So, my last study, I went over those that Jesus said had little faith. And, you know, this is his disciples that saw firsthand of the miracles that this man performed. Endless miracles that this man performed. But they never had faith. Not until after he was risen. Then they started having the faith. But while he was walking there, they never had the faith. Even Thomas, after he was risen, Thomas had to put his hands in God and Christ's nail prints. In Matthew 8:5-10, we're going to see somebody that has faith, that Jesus said had faith. And it's also in Luke 7, but Matthew 8:5-10. And when Jesus was entering into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion. Now we know that a centurion is a Roman soldier, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. Because Jesus saw that he was concerned. But the centurion did something. He did something that Jesus isn't quite familiar with. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. That's something Christ hasn't heard before. He says, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and he's putting Jesus in the same situation as himself. He's saying that you are the Lord, so you can send and have my servant healed. And say to this man, go, and he goeth. That's what the centurion does. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. So when Jesus heard it, he marveled at what said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, have not so great faith, not so in Israel. This coming from God, the Son of God, one third the Godhead, one third the Godhead, I said, God. But telling this Gentile, this was not an Israelite. This was not a Jew. This man had more faith than any of the Israelites that he has come across. None of his disciples had this faith. Here was a Roman soldier with authority whom Jesus expressed more faith than any Israelite or of his disciples. I mean, that's faith. I mean, this guy, he hadn't seen the miracles that the disciples saw. He was just there to protect his people or his governor or whatever. He was just there to do what the man above him told him to do. He hadn't seen the miracles that Jesus did. But by faith, he knew that Jesus Christ could save his servant. Now, I know Ronnie said it before, but this is also in The Chosen, and they do a very good video of this, and it touches you every time I see it. But this just goes to show you, just put it in here and say, okay, look, we have Israel here that has never obeyed God's word to the degree. They would say, yes, Lord, we will do as you say. And 3 days later, they're blaspheming or they're billboards or whatever, or pouring out to other nations or whatever, but they never adhered to God's word. And here is a Gentile that believed him. And even Jesus says, have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. So the question here in 8 and 12, continuing on, Jesus said, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus was carrying on with his conversation that he had before he met the centurion. Now, there's a question here. On these two verses, where Jesus is saying to the audience, and I say to you that many shall come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and the kingdom of heaven. Wait a minute. How can they do that? But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So the question is Jesus speaking of the valley of dry bones? The resurrection here. I'm going to leave that with you. And then it goes on to 8:13, and Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. That centurion walked away from there. And this is where Chosen just really lays it out. That centurion walked away from there knowing that this child was healed. Because he left from where he met, was talking to Jesus and got the blessing. He actually went by and bought a toy to take back to his house. And when he came in, his wife met him cheering, he's healed, he's healed. And the centurion went, yeah, I know he was, So there's a, that is insane. But they did a really good job of that. And I can see that. That was awesome. So and also, that was one in Matthew 15:28. This is after Jesus had scolded the Pharisees for their traditions and calling them hypocrites, then scolds good old Peter for not understanding the parable of what defiles a man, then went on to Tyre and Sidon, then a woman in Canaan, came to help for her daughter, came to seek help for her daughter, okay? So in 22-28, says, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. In my own personal life, I'm having a situation that sometimes seems like that with my son with his mental issues. But anyway, under arrest. Let's go back. And my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cried after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You see, this woman is not an Israelite. This woman is a Gentile also, from Canaan. You know, the ites? Think about it. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered her and said, is it not meet to take the children's bread, which is Israel, and cast it to the dogs of which you are? And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt, and her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Okay, here is two, not Israelites, not disciples, but two that believed by faith that Jesus could heal the family or their household. These are not disciples, let's just say they're Gentiles, okay? Because either you're Israel, or you're Jerusalem, or you're a Gentile. A dog. So, what I'm going at here is, think about the world and what they think of as far as Jesus is concerned in traditional. They go to Jesus' word and leave it there. Even though Jesus says, he came to his own, and his own received him not. People can't see that. They can't see that Jesus was come to his own, But we all know that Jesus, yes, Jesus put his life out there for the world. But when it comes to studying scripture, that's where we lose them, in right division. Because if you say something about, well, Paul came to finish up the sufferings of Christ, then they say, well, hold on a minute. You're taking something away from Jesus by saying that he did more than Jesus did? See, that's where we have to explain right division to the persons we're talking to. This can help. I know I'm looking at this. This I can see me helping some people come out of tradition as far as their way of thinking and into right division. This is what we as body members have to do. We have to go in a way to bring others to the truth. It's our message to do this. Anyway, I digress again. Let's go to Matthew 9:20-22. And behold, a woman which is diseased with an issue of blood. We know this one, right? Actually, when we were in the ark on the way back from the conference, I got the print, and it is a beautiful print. It's a picture of the woman with her hand reaching toward the garment. But I got that. Now, I ain't got it framed yet, but I'm going to frame it and put it up. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched him, the hem of his garment, for she said within herself, if I may touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus came out when he saw her and said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith had made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Now, this woman, I don't think was a Gentile, even though it don't say it, because with her and the blood issues, and she knew that she was unclean, and other situations that come from this circumstance, I believe she was part of Israel, because she knew that people were not supposed to get near her, because, you know, when watching The Chosen again, it kind of hints at that. You can tell that she knows the law. So this lady was probably not a Gentile, but her faith, she knew that all she had to do was touch his garment and she would be healed. And she was. See, this whole thing is about faith. It's where we all need to be like these people with the faith. I know the people here that I'm looking at, I know you guys have all the faith, but I'm seeing how faith is so important in my life, and how I think I can personally probably get to some people with faith. They just don't know it yet. Point being, Jesus expressed two different healings of people by their faith in him, but he said by their faith they were healed. Any healing recorded by Jesus stated that they were healed by their faith. Many times scripture saying that Jesus said, and you were healed by your faith. They were healed by their faith. In him is where their faith was. Their faith was in him. Their faith was in his faith. Because Christ, even God's faith, is where we go. These had more faith than that of the disciples or any Jewish leader. A couple of them were Gentiles. The body of Christ that Paul was and is the apostle to were mostly Gentiles. because they believed his word through faith and operation of Christ, written testimony as facts, substance and evidence. Faith. When I was at the conference, I kind of finished up with pointing to the audience and being body. And anybody in there could reach over and touch the person next to them. That's substance. I can relate it to that. And you know the evidence of that person by their walk. Substance and evidence. The faith, that's where it's all at. The body is going to fill up that which God requires. In Colossians 2, 1 through 7, Paul says, "For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them in Laodicea. And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." And you can get that in a lot of these churches. "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order, and the steadfastness of your faith." Paul knew that the Colossians had the faith. They were steady in it. Says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him." This is, they're to walk in faith, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We look in Ephesians 3:12. Christ himself, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. By the faith of him. His faith. Christ's faith. Ephesians 6:16. Because we're getting into the shield. "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked." This is something that the shield of faith is the one that can move all around. Forward, back, up, down. This is where our faith is at, is in God's word, allowing anything to just be deflected off of us. We all get caught up in worldly events. We all get caught up in our own troubles. I know I get to whining with my little issue that I have, but I don't have to look far at all with just the body and see people like Chip, since 2010, has been dealing with Lulu. This man has got faith that he uses. He still takes care of this woman. We've got people like Stephanie. This woman has got more faith than I can imagine. We've got others. Ronnie and Larry went through the fire. Coach, they went through a fire. You know, we all have our problems, but we're still here. We're not whining about it. We just get in and go. just do what you got to do and let God handle it. I have an issue with my son. I just turn around and have to walk off sometimes because when I look him in the eye, that's not my son. This guy has demons in him or something sometimes. And I know this. But my faith is in God. And I can try and preach him all day long, but when he has those glazed over eyes, that I do not even recognize this man. I can only put the word out there. But I don't let it bother me. I do let it bother me some. But I come home and I go about my life. I turn it over to God. I let the shield of faith take over for me. And friends, I know you guys do also. In 1 Timothy 3:8-13, it says, likewise, and this is talking about the deacons of the church, and I did use this one in the conference. It says, likewise, the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith. This is a biggie here, guys. This is a biggie. The mystery of the faith. You know, faith itself is a biggie. This is something that we really need to focus on is our faith. Just, Mike Michikowski, he's always wanted to say, hey, man, how's your faith? And, hey, we all have to rely on God and quit blaming other people for our problems. Some people might say, God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? God, why did you let me get afflicted with this? Why did my son get in the situation he's in? Personally, I think he did it to himself. But other than that, some people would say, God, why did you let this happen? Therein is where atheists are born. When you start blaming God for something, or saying that there is no God if he allows this to happen. Gary Hill once said, you know, he made a comment about this. He said that, you know, when you say, why me? God says, why not you? You know, why not you? You're supposed to be big enough to handle this. You're supposed to use God as your shield, the shield of faith, because he's going to bring you through it. He's not going to give you more than you can handle. God is going to be there for you. And everybody in here can testify to that. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved. Let them use the office of a deacon being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. I can see some women of the body that we visit. Buddy, I can see faithfulness in these women. And I know it. And I just feel just blessed just to be around these people. So let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. For they that have used the house of the deacon will purchase well. Let me start that over. For they that have used the house of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. The faith which is in Christ Jesus. not on the person, but Christ. It's his faith. Timothy 4:1-2. So I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering, and doctrine. I'm pretty sure I made a statement to that in the end of it. We're going to see suffering. How are we going to handle it? Just ask you, how are we going to handle it? Hopefully we're going to take the shield of faith and let God take care of it, and whatever happens, let it be God's will. The body of Christ is pure faith. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God was complete. He was whole. But he took from himself in creating everything. So, what it's going to take to refill that body is faith. The body of Christ is that faith that's going to be filling the all in all. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, dear Lord, for another blessed day, Lord, and thank you again for those prayers of healing and those prayers of protection, Lord, that the saints put hedges around all the other saints. Lord, we thank you for that, and Lord, we thank you for these body members. Lord, we ask that you be with all those that are in our hearts. Lead us, guide us, and protect us. And help us understand the degree of faith that we have to have, because it's your faith, Heavenly Father, that we are falling on. For it's in Christ's precious name I pray. Amen.